Welcome to Bite Size Human Geography, a podcast meant for students and anyone who wants a better understanding of the world. We investigate global issues using human geography concepts. It's human geography made simple. Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be discussing how a country makes its money. This is sometimes called the levels of economic activity of a country. This is the fifth and final episode in this series on level of economic activity. And if you recall, if you've listened to those previous episodes, I broke these into smaller podcasts because sometimes I find that my students get a bit confused by the levels of economic activity. And so I wanted to isolate each level so that you could retain the information better. So to recap, the levels of economic activity involve basically how does a country make its money. The final of the levels of economic activity, quinary economic activity, involve really high levels of education. So we learned as we progressed through the levels of economic activity, starting at primary and moving all the way through to quinary, that the higher level of economic activity typically requires higher levels of education. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean college education. When we're talking about something like tertiary, a service, if you are, you have a plumbing business, that still requires certification and education. Now, that's not necessarily on a university setting, but it still does require extensive education to be able to perform your job well. So in a quinary economic activity, these are going to be people that have high levels of education. Typically, these are going to be the CEOs, COOs, CIOs. Basically, those are called the C-suite people. So chief executive officer, chief operating officer, chief information officer. These are going to be people that really help to drive the direction of a company. They also include heads of government. So heads of states, heads of countries, heads of states, heads of media and entertainment, heads of social media. These are people whose decisions have really far-reaching consequences to the lives of their employees, to the lives of people who consume their product and beyond. And this is just really a small percentage of society. This population is very, very small, but they really do have a massive economic and social political influence to the tune of really trillions of dollars or pounds or euros, whatever monetary system you want to use. But their influence drives economic growth, but it can also drive economic contraction as well. I've talked before about this concept of hierarchical diffusion or the pyramid of power, and these are people that are going to be at the very top of that social, political, economic pyramid. They are at the top of the social hierarchy. So let's use Elon Musk as an example. We know that he is, it kind of goes back and forth, but probably as of right now, he would be considered the richest person on the planet. When he made the decision to move a lot of his operation of Tesla and also of SpaceX to Texas, that had tremendous influence, tremendous negative influence in California, but tremendous positive influence in Texas. A little town, or basically Brownsville, Texas, which is a small little town at the southernmost tip of Texas, has undergone tremendous economic growth strictly due to his influence. As I discussed in my podcast on basic and non-basic industries, a company like SpaceX would be a basic industry to someplace like Brownsville, Texas. Tons of businesses that are supporting SpaceX have also moved to the Brownsville region, and that has injected a tremendous amount of money into the area. So his decisions of moving from California have benefited Texas, but it's also taken away in a negative, and obviously in a negative way, from California and the manufacturing plants that are in California. So this is one person's decision. And of course, the reality is you have a team of people that are making these decisions. But ultimately, since he is the CEO, owner of his company, he's the one that makes the decision. If we look at political leaders, if we think back to the beginnings of COVID, and if we think about President Trump and how his response was to the pandemic, his view was vaccination was going to be key in trying to end the epidemic or the pandemic. And so his push for drug companies to develop these vaccines
was instrumental in having vaccines available for this in just a little under a year, instead of really the decades that it would normally take to bring a vaccine to full production. So what I'd like to do now is go ahead and take us through all the levels of economic activity using a product. And normally teachers will use things like trees, you know, and pencils or something along those lines. But since I'm from Texas, in Texas, there is a hamburger chain that is basically an institution, which is Whataburger. So the example that I like to use with my students is ketchup, and Whataburger ketchup, for those of you that don't know, has its own cult following. But Whataburger created a ketchup that is considered spicy, and it's labeled as spicy ketchup. So let's take ketchup all the way through the levels of economic activity. So if we're starting off with primary levels of economic activity, you know that we are extracting resources from the earth. So in this case, this would be extracting, or this would be growing and harvesting the tomatoes, the sugar that's involved from it, and all the other things, salt and pepper, mustard, I think, is in the ketchup as well. So that would be primary. Secondary would be taking those natural resources and then converting them. So this would be in the plant when they are actually cooking and squishing the tomatoes and throwing in probably vinegar is my guess, and ketchup, I'm sorry, and sugar and all the other things that make the ketchup so delicious. Tertiary levels of economic activity for that ketchup would be if we were to consider the people that are working in the office at Whataburger, maybe the accountants that are there, maybe the salespeople that are trying to sell it to local grocery chains. The truck drivers would be an excellent example of tertiary levels of economic activity. Remember, this is a service, and the truck drivers are providing a service of transporting that ketchup to the local Whataburger or to the grocery store. The people working in the grocery store would also be tertiary levels of economic activity. The manager of the grocery store, all of these people would be involved in tertiary economic activities. And if you recall, the tertiary sector is about 80% of a country's economy that is considered a developed country or an MDC. If we move on to quaternary or quaternary economic activities, these would be the people working for Whataburger, or maybe they contract them out to do research. And so the stories that has been told to me, and I don't know whether this is just a legend or whether this is truth, but the story that's always been told to me is that Whataburger, the business owners of Whataburger, were noticing that people loved the ketchup, and that they would continue to add and mix on their burgers all of the other items that pretty much became the spicy ketchup. So they would be doing that in-house, and they watched people doing this. And so they did some research, and the research showed that people would be interested in getting, having a spicy ketchup. So the process of developing that ketchup and the formulations, working to do that, the chemists involved in that, the researchers doing research on it, maybe they did, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm kind of imagining that they did some tests and they did research on that. That would be quaternary economic activities, okay? So the process of bringing this idea of quaternary of spicy ketchup from the quaternary sector to the quinary sector to the CEO and the whole C-suite team, the chief executive officer, operating officer, that would be our quinary economic activities. And when those people look at the research that shows that, hey, people really do want this idea of spicy ketchup, that would be their decision to say, all right, let's go with it. Let's go ahead and produce this ketchup. Let's roll it out in our stores and see what people think. So all decisions for items like a spicy ketchup or any type of new product ultimately end with the people that are in the quinary economic activity. Well, that's it for today. I hope today's podcast helped you to gain a better understanding of identifying quinary economic activity. And just remember that if you're a human geography student, understanding the levels of economic activity is really essential to being successful in this class. You can find my email in the show notes and connect with any show ideas or simply to ask a question. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates as they happen. Thanks for listening.